That's say right. It their father, so I'll say it. Happy Father's Day. Happy to you, Daddy Day.
All right, we have a two-part lesson, part one today, part two next week, Colossians chapter 3. Now, we're in our Grace Growth Group Gifts Giving series. We're still in our group series today, Rules for Holy Living, New Life, New Lifestyle. Our purpose is to make pleasing Christ our ultimate goal rather than pleasing our sinful nature. And Paul's going to explain true Christian behavior in this chapter, how we put on the new self, how we take off the old self, as regarding our earthly nature, and how we change our moral and ethical behavior by letting Christ live within us so that He can shape us into what we need to be. Do we have anybody in here that's ever run a marathon? Anybody ever run a marathon? You have run a marathon? Really? What was your time?
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's quite an accomplishment. 26 point something miles. Yeah. Yeah. A marathon runner must have determination. A marathon runner must have concentration. If you study marathon runners, they focus on what comes next, you know, the next step. They've got to make that next step. They've got to make the next checkpoint. Until the race is completed, their entire focus is on finishing the race. Now, as Christians, our lifestyles should be like marathon runners because we should totally concentrate on everything that helps us reach our goal. So this chapter, you may have in your Bible a subheading. Mine says, What Christians Should Do. Does anybody have a subheading in their Bible? What does it say?
The Life of the New Man.
The Life of the New Man, yes.
Rules for Holy Living.
New Life in Christ.
New Life in Christ, put on the new self, okay. Mine has, now this is something I added based on a sermon I heard, walk down a different street. Walk down a different street. All right, point number one, we should put heaven's priorities into our daily practice. Colossians 3, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. Now, what do you think Paul means by things above?
Things of God.
Things of God. Spiritual stuff.
Right.
Eternal things. How about earthly things? What does he mean by earthly things?
The world.
The world. Temporary things.
Things we can see.
Things we can see. You see, in verse 1, he says, since you've been raised with Christ. In other words, since you're a Christian, he's expressing certainty here. You're already a Christian, so let's see how Christians are supposed to live. Now, there was no doubt in Paul's mind the sincerity of the faith of these Colossian Christians. They were sincere in their faith. They had been put to death in their sins. They had been raised from their death, just as Christ had been raised from his death by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they received this new life also by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we become Christians, when anybody becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of our life. So they have this new life, and what they need to do is they need to know how to work it out. How to work it. Now, put your hand over your heart. Okay? Your heart. Okay? The heart is in the center of our chest, right? All right? Now, what does the heart do physically for our body? Pumps blood, right? Pumps blood, all right? What does the heart do emotionally for our body?
We love with our
hearts. That's exactly right. In other words, and it's impossible, it would be impossible to love everybody if we didn't have that heart. Jesus says, love your enemies. It's quite different from what the world says, right? So we're to get our direction from Christ, not the world. It's basically what he's saying. Now, heavenly things, things above, he's saying, Paul is saying that, let's just take it right to the top with Christ here. We've got to take our focus off the world and focus on Christ. So set your hearts on these heavenly things and not on earthly things. Now, he says, setting your hearts on things above. Concentrating on the eternal rather than things that are temporary. Set over here somewhere. Okay. Focus on the Lord Jesus. If you think about something long enough, it's going to influence your actions. Right? Not on things on the earth refers to anything false that may be going on. False teaching, false living, anything false. But what are the things that they're to set their minds upon? Now, keep your finger there and turn to the left to Philippians chapter 4. So what are we to set our things on? Look at 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble or honest, whatever is just or right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So he defines that for us in Philippians 4:8. Now back to Colossians. By setting your hearts and your minds on things above, your life on earth would be pleasing to God, and that would help accomplish Christ's work. Pretty simple, right? Pretty easy to do, right? Number 2. Christ gives us power to live for him now. Verse 3, Colossians chapter 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, what is the incentive that Paul gives for us having this orientation toward Christ? What's the incentive? We'll be like him. What's the other? That's right. What's another incentive?
Love.
What's it? That's right. What's another incentive? We'll be with him. You see that? Being a Christian doesn't pay very well, does it? But the retirement is out of this world. Now, Paul often wrote about how believers already possess his life of Christ, having died with him and risen with him, yet we're never going to be perfect until we get to heaven, right? We're never going to have that life of perfection. We're always in that training mode, you see. We're always training to be like Christ. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. You see, Christ himself gives to us this new life. We don't get it from any other source. And although we are safe, means that we are saved, and we're raised with him, we still are a work in progress, right? Do you know Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's widow? Do you know what it says on her tombstone? Work completed. Work completed. Or something like that. Yeah. Work completed. So we have something to look forward to. We have something to look forward to. We have something to look forward to, this new heaven and this new earth, as Christ promised. But see, Christ, we don't have to all. We don't. Not only do we have to, we look forward to the future, but we have the hope now. We have the power to live now because of our life in Christ. Number three, Christ followers should rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, chapter 3 of Colossians. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But we'll stop there. So what do the things we're to put to death have in common? Say again. They're all sins, but what type of sins are these? How would you classify these sins in verse 5?
Sexual
sins. Now, if these Christians are to put to death certain things of earthly nature, in other words, put to death the old lifestyle, they had to sacrifice some things. It would take, well, let me ask you this way. Have anybody ever been on a diet? Now, don't lie, okay? You've been on a diet, okay? What's the hardest thing to do if you follow? It may be a diet getting ready for a surgery, okay? It may be a diet to lose weight. What's the hardest thing to do when you try to follow a diet? Not eat? Give up things. Beth, what were you going to say?
Give up something you enjoy.
Give up something you enjoy. Yeah. You're watching somebody else eat something that you want to eat, and you can't eat it.
Learn to be satisfied with all that you have.
Yeah, if you have to eat the same thing in order to accomplish your goal, you get tired of it. Yeah. Ever had a colonoscopy?
Yeah.
And the procedure is a walk in the park, right? But it's that day before the preparation that you have to do. Now, what happens if you don't do the preparation for the colonoscopy? The doctor can't do what he or she needs to do. You know, you're not cleaned out. You know, not to brush you out or anything, but just call it like it is. Yeah. All right? So, if you're going to follow a diet, that means that you can't live the life that you live pre-diet. Right? If we're going to live the life of Christ, we can't live that life pre-Christ anymore. We can't do it. Now, there are two sets of sins here listed. Okay? The first are sexual sin. Let's break these down. He says the first one is sexual immorality. The Greek word is where we get our English word pornography. That's where we get pornography from. This really is any form of illicit relationship. The second one is impurity. Another way of saying that is moral uncleanliness. Moral uncleanliness. The next one is lust. Lust. That's an evil sexual passion. Then he says evil desire. That's wanting something so sinister in order to satisfy your own desires. You're willing to do anything evil to satisfy your desires. And then greed. And he gives us another word for greed, which is idolatry. Now, why is greed like idolatry? You worship. Anything you worship other than God is idolatry. If you're greedy, then you're putting your greed in front of God. See that? Anything you desire other than God is greed. Verse 6, he says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming to those who are disobedient. Now, the wrath of God refers to God's judgment on these types of behavior. And God doesn't reveal His wrath arbitrarily. God's wrath is coming. It's coming with a future and final punishment of evil. And today, people are trying to negotiate with God. They're trying to get around God. But there's punishment for those who do not put Jesus Christ first place in their life. Number four, Christ followers must rid themselves of all evil practices. Verse 8, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He says, but now you must rid yourself of such things. Precisely because of this new life in Christ, we're to put to death that old self. We're to put to self, we're put to death the desire for these earthly natures and get rid of these things listed above and others listed below. Now, get rid of is just another way of saying disrobe. You know, when you get home, you change clothes, you disrobe, you put on new clothing. You're going to work there was a preacher in Marietta, pastor in Marietta, Georgia, where we lived. You never saw him in anything but a suit and tie, ever. Okay? In fact, and you're going to think I'm committing one of these sins, but I'm not. I saw him on his riding lawnmower in a suit and tie. Seriously. And when asked, his reply was, well, you never know when I'm going to have to go to the hospital or to the funeral. Or to a funeral. You know, you never know. All right? He never disrobed. He never came out of that image. And I'm being critical. I'm just, you know, telling you that he never changed the way that he looked. Okay? He never changed. What happens to us when we take off the old sin? What happens? We become new in what way? A whole new outlook on life. All right. What else? Actions. A transformation. You see things differently. You react to things differently. You look differently.
Not better, just different.
But where is the betterment? Where is the betterment in a Christian? It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. You see, because if a change doesn't happen on the inside, how can we show a change on the outside? How can we act differently in the world if there's not been a change that occurred to us? That's right. We can be thankful because we're not the way that we used to be. Right? And if somebody is giving you a compliment about how well you are as a Christian, you can in all honesty say, well, I didn't always act like this. Right? I wasn't always like this. Because hopefully every day we are changing. Now, not many of us are guilty of these sexual sins. Okay? So it's easy to say, whew, I'm glad that's over with. Now I'm off the hook. Right? But then he goes to what Baptists like to call meddling. Right? He starts meddling. Not only do we need to get rid of these sexual sins, but there's some other problems that we might have. The first one is anger. You ever been angry? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, what's anger? Let's define anger. Road rage. Road rage. We have a lot of adopted, not legally, but we have a lot of adopted children. You know, children who are now adults that we've had special relationships with. And what did Alicia say on Facebook? You know, she's driving and the kids are now saying, you know, get out of the way, you know. And
but with your granddaughter.
My granddaughter. Okay, what did my granddaughter say?
Let me in.
Yeah.
Actually, she said, I guess I'm saying too much when I'm driving.
She's hearing, the children hear their parents or grandparents.
As she's driving and there's a car in the way and everything, let me in, which she's heard her mother say, you know.
Anger is really hatred. It's really hatred. It's a continuous attitude of hatred that just bottles up inside of you until it has nowhere else to go, and then you do what? You explode. All right. Now let's define the next one. Rage. What's rage? Elevated anger. Anger in action, uncontrolled anger. It's elevated for sure. Now, we don't do a show of hands here. Because I've been guilty of this one. You have temper? You know what a temper means? Yeah, not temperament. You know? You have a temper. All right? And our only daughter growing up knew where my button was. And yeah, she could push my button. And that, yeah, still does in certain times. That rage, that outburst, you know. And I've often thought about this, Coach. You know, coaches yell at their players as if they're going to perform better, you know, by yelling. You know. All right, malice. What's malice mean? Meanness? What's malice? That's right. What's malice? Ill will. How do Christians act in malice? Talking behind backs.
Is it a form of bullying?
It's really doing evil when you've received good. You think about all the good that you've received, notwithstanding what you've received from God. But any form of malice just means doing evil in spite of having goodness in you. All right, slander. Let's define slander. Judge?
Saying something bad?
Untruthful.
Speaking evil of somebody.
Gossip. Oh, gossip. Yeah, if you spread a rumor about someone, that's really slander. If you're spreading a rumor, if you're trying to destroy someone's reputation, that's slander. You said lying, gossip. Okay. Now, filthy language. Filthy language. What's filthy language? I don't want examples. You know.
What's
taking God's name in vain? In fact, I have a good friend. He's a helicopter pilot. And when anybody uses God's name in vain, or Jesus' name in vain, he says, well, you called him. What do you want to say to him? You said his name. What do you want to say to him? Yeah. Filthy language. He's talking crude. Abusive language. cussing. You know, you know what cussing is, right? Yeah. All right. Now, do which of these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, which of these have places in our have a rightful place in our church? None of them. None of them. These also are part of the old life that we need to put away. Now, why do Christians and churches fall into the trap of concentrating on the first list rather than the other list? It's easier. Why is it easier?
We're not tempted to do those sexual sins as much as we are these other ones.
Okay, we're not tempted to do the sexual sins as we are these other sins. Come on in, Delmy. Why do Christians and churches fall into the trap of concentrating on the first list rather than the second list? Beth?
We have a tendency to categorize things. This is bigger sins. This is lesser sins.
Right.
And how high.
Okay, we categorize sins. We elevate some sins over other sins. These are worse sins than these. What else? That's correct. Yes?
There's a verse in Psalms that says that if you violate one of the laws, you're guilty of all of the laws.
If you violate one of the laws, you're guilty of all the laws. Okay.
John says the law of God saved you.
Okay, hold that one.
If we concentrate on the things we don't do, then we don't have to concentrate on the sins we do.
Yeah. It's keeping our eyes focused. Keeping our eyes focused in perspective, right? Now, who's the truth? See, Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. So if we speak about other people as Christ would speak about them, then we will not lie, right? We will not lie. Basically, he says, don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another. Now, it was each. This is each person who became something different. You see, he's still talking about the old self and the new self. We're all becoming something different. Are you still learning? If you're a disciple, if you say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, the definition of being a disciple is that you're a learner. Okay? You're a learner. Try to learn something new every day. Okay? Try to learn something new every day. Every Christian should be in a continuing education program. We're constantly learning. That's why we come here. That's why we go to worship. Yeah. And I don't know if this affects you the way it affects me, but I can hear a verse of Scripture, whether it's in a sermon or in a lesson, and I'm going like, it's like I've heard it for the first time. Okay? That's how fresh God's Word is to us. So every Christian should be in a continuing education process. That's the goal of being like Christ. The more we know about Christ, what's the result? We'll have Him. We'll have Him. The more we know about Christ, what's the result? We'll be more like Him. We'll never be Christ, will we? But we'll be like Him. How can we love our enemies? Only through the eyes of Christ. In fact, He says, By this the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the more we know about Christ, the more we know about His work, the more we are learning, the more we'll be like Him. You know.
Somebody tells their life to avoid something evil from taking place. How do we think about that? Let's say an ISIS member comes here and we hear that there's shot somebody down there and he comes here and the person that he was following came here and he really decided to go and he comes to say, where is he? we say, no, we have not seen this man because he said, or we look at his inside out, and he goes there to see. But we think we say that that's a lie, but we want to save the life of that individual. How do we, as Christians, do something like this?
Okay, now I'm not understanding your question.
What you're saying is that, let's say, for instance, an incident took place at school, a shooting or something like this, and or someone was trying to take a life, and we did that person, it's just to keep on from happening, to save this life, but we have to lie to the person that's trying to.
The assailant.
And how do we deal with that particular it's a lie.
Okay.
I've done a study on that in the scriptures, and there were many times in the life of Abraham, Isaac, David, where they told something that wasn't factually correct, but it was to save innocent life. And God not only did not condemn them, He blessed them for it. Okay, but it was always regarding saving innocent life. It was not for personal gain. You lie for personal gain or an evil motive, then it's a true lie. But if you misstate the facts to save a human life, God actually honors that. I have found that in the scriptures.
Does that help you?
I can give you some scriptures later on that.
I mean, where does exaggeration fit?
The person that calls is guilty.
Where does exaggeration fit as it relates to lying?
Too much. I mean,
you exaggerate something.
I think that's a form of lying.
It's a form of lying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've been guilty of this. You know, you ever had a telemarketer call? Now, may I speak to Mr. Moody? I'm sorry he's not here. But let me justify it. They were calling my father. I'm sure they were calling my father. You know, right? I see, we Christians, we do that all the time. Right? But I think to save the life of someone else, to protect the life of someone
innocent
else.
Life.
Innocent life.
Yeah. If someone burst into your home with a gun, and you put your kids in the closet, and they say, is there anybody else in the house? You're not going to say, well, I can't lie, my kids are in the closet. You're going to tell them, no, I'm the only one here. What do you want?
Right. I mean, think about Christians who were martyred when they were asked for you. Well, he's saying that to protect an innocent life, it's okay to not tell the complete truth. Yeah, but think about a Christian who's about to be martyred. And the question, are you a Christian, yes or no? And how many Christians have said yes, and they're executed? Okay. If they'd lied, maybe they would have survived. Okay. But are you going to deny Christ? No. No. So Paul here is putting together a blending of our minds and our emotions in order for us to know how to live a life with Christ. Now, we covered a lot of sin. Paul covers a lot of sins here. All right. Now, on your own, and let's not share this, but which one of these are you the weakest? In which one of these areas are you the weakest? And that's where you need to pray. You need to pray toward that direction. God, help me be stronger in these areas where I am weak. And then spend time thanking Him for the change that He's already made. Would you be Were you more angry with other people before you were a Christian or after you became a Christian? What changes happened? Spend time thanking him for the changes he's already made. Just a personal word.
I have it written in my Bible. The interesting thing here that I think that we find right here at the end, it says, old self with its practices. And be renewed in knowledge. And I don't know, I don't think I'm smart enough to think of this on my own, so I must have heard it. But it was used, the word practices was used in that the old self and its practices, we have to practice being the new self. It's saying increased knowledge in Christ. And so we have to continue to practice at being a Christian. You know, coach, I always told this to my kids, what you're practicing is what you're going to perform. And coach probably told his boy, the way you practice on this field is the way you're going to play. In other words, you try to motivate kids not to slough off in practice, because the way you're practicing is the way you're going to perform. So as Christians, we've got to practice every day. And sometimes we're going to mess up in the. And so I just think it's interesting that they use the words, turn from the evil practices. And so the speaker that I've heard said, and make it good practice.
Yeah, she's speaking about practice, you know, athletic practice, musical practices. The way you practice is the way you're going to perform. The way we practice our Christian lifestyle is the way we're going to perform. We have a good friend in Orlando at First Baptist Church. He's a worship pastor. And they had a memorial this week for all the victims. And just pray for that ministry, you know, trying to reach that particular community and the family for Christ. I've been really pleased at the response of the Christian community, the outpouring of love that has been expressed, because we don't want that tragedy to happen to anyone, regardless of their particular walk, Carol.
Well, in relationship to that situation, I do think personally that there is a time for righteous anger. I was very angry about that happening, and you think of Jesus in the temple getting very angry that they were selling things.
Yes.
So I feel like there is a righteous anger.
Of course.
But not something that goes beyond that.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Righteous anger for true wrongs.
An opportunity for a church to reach out to family members and, there was a very good interview by the pastor of that church, David Hugh, and, trying to show God's love. And apparently the worship service was the prayer service or whatever that they had. There were lots of really powerful and positive results. And as we know, as tragedy, sometimes, if one person comes to Christ, but that church is really trying to, they're kind of the focal point of that city right now as far as the reach out, of trying to minister to those that were touched by it.
Yeah, so we keep praying for our country. I talked with somebody this week on Pathway to Victory who's very upset about the direction of our country, and I think she's not alone. And she's not alone. And I close every conversation like that by saying the class that I teach, after we study God's Word and after we pray, there's a verse of Scripture printed on the back wall. And that's what we quote. And that's what we need to keep quoting as Christians. Yeah. If Christians will just pray and pray fervently, God hears the prayer. But then there's another part of that. We have to turn from our wicked ways too, right? And it's easy, I'll say it's easy for me, and then you can see if that applies to you. It's easy for me to say that the world needs to change from its wicked ways, but I do too. Yeah, I need to change too. Yeah. And that's what this lesson is all about, Lynn.
Did you notice over television this week, I think, that we had a prayer service with the Southern Baptist Convention? Did you notice this? I've never seen this done in our convention. Usually we have. Did you see it, Eric?
I read it.
I did.
Yeah, did you? And you saw it over there, and he led them in a... For we used to have a preacher, which is nothing wrong with this, and a singer. He led that whole station in prayer.
For the country.
For the country. And I think that we would get back. Because you think more so than just the country. I think we need to get back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Did you guys read that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no other...
station do it.
Think about this. There's no other organization that's going to influence America more than the church.
That's right.
If the church will just do what the Word of God says, we can change America.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new lifestyle that we have in Christ. And we've been reminded of some things that we need to change. May that be a daily change, Lord, as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.